Welcome to this episode of Here's Something Good, a production of the Seneca Women Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. Each day, we aspire to bring you the good news, the silver lining, the glass half full, because there is good happening in the world, everywhere, every day. We just need to look for it and share it. Here's something good for today. As protests over the death of George Floyd continue across the country, now is a time of listening, empathy, and compassion. At this moment of great pain and difficulty, we find ourselves looking to the brave young women and men standing up in the face of injustice, and we find hope in the future generations to come. Right now, there is a focus on this future generation and how we can help break the cycle of racism and intolerance in the United States through conscious and thoughtful education, not just for our children, but also for ourselves. We sought to learn more about what we can all do in our own lives and in our own homes to improve anti-racism education, and we're grateful for the opportunity to speak with Diane Watson, Associate Professor of Education and Social Studies Content Coordinator at the Lewis and Clark Graduate School of Education and Counseling. She's also a co-editor of Teaching for Black Lives, which serves as a handbook to help all educators fight racism. And she's an editor for Rethinking Schools. Here's what Dr. Watson had to say.
Well, we know that as early as 3 to 6 months of age, babies begin to notice and express preference by race. And then I believe it's between the ages of 3 and 5 or so that children begin to apply stereotypes and categorize people by race and express racial bias. So by the time kids are in school, they already have some strong beliefs about different races. So the biggest way to eradicate racism is to start with the curriculum. It is very important for schools to offer a curriculum that reflects a multiracial country. Students have to know how to work with other people that are different from themselves. Students have to know the real history so they can appreciate really what happened. I mean, if you ask students probably, who are the winners and who are the losers in our society, you will see answers that will fall out along racial lines. And it's just not true. There's a great center called Morningside Center for Teaching Social Responsibility. And they have a variety of ways to approach difficult conversations, including conversations about race and violence. So they have this great section on how to talk about what happened with George Floyd. And so I would, as a parent and as a teacher, consult these places so that you're constantly thinking about it and helping students think about it. And that's another thing. Like, we can't begin to talk about these things in a productive manner if we ourselves haven't talked about it. So if you're a parent, and especially if you're not a parent of color, so if you're a white parent, you got to start dealing with your own stuff. If you are afraid to talk about race, you got to get over it. And so find some folks that you can start talking with about race and just jump in. And it's fine to tell a kid, I'm not used to this myself, but I know it's important. The main thing for a teacher is to create a safe, respectful, and supportive tone in classrooms, to ask questions, to solicit children's thoughts. Like, what are you thinking? It's just a great question to continually ask, and that, obviously in a really warm way. And just to see where they're at, because you might be surprised. They might have been thinking about this, and they're just waiting for a chance to process it with an adult. When talking about race and controversial issues with older kids, it's really important to present facts, to give them or provide sources where they can see a variety of views and come to conclusions on their own. We don't want to just provide one side, or not even just two sides, because there's usually more than just two sides to any issue. So given the variety of issues, what do a variety of people believe? And provide frameworks so they can systematically go through this material and keep track of their thinking and others' thinking and have an opportunity to talk about it with their peers and even their families. And then write about it? You know, what conclusions do they come to? And interview others, get out there and talk, create podcasts, create a blog, but really get in there and delve into the different ideas of others and add your own and have these conversations. This Sunday, about 40 or so students will officially become teachers. They'll be graduating from the school where I teach. And that brings me hope, because all year long, we've been talking about why Black Lives Matter, how to integrate principles of social justice into the curriculum, how to love your students. And while none of us are perfect, they have the perfect attitude and the perfect mindset to make a difference. And that's where it starts. Teachers are so important in this battle. And I am hopeful because I know more than just a handful who are going to do great things, who are doing great things, and who will do great things. And that brings me a lot of comfort and a lot of hope.
There is so much we can learn about the fight against racial bias and what each of us can do in our own lives to help. Dr. Watson demonstrates how we can refocus our efforts in education to provide more effective anti-racism teaching, even in our own homes. So here's something helpful for today. Especially in the circumstances we find ourselves during this global pandemic, Dr. Watson provides much-needed perspective on education and a way forward. She encourages us all to seek out resources and guidance to make education more effective in the fight against racism for all ages. And in doing so, she also encourages us each to dig deep within ourselves so that we can understand our own biases and become better teachers of the next generation. And in doing so, move towards the more equitable world we all want to see. You can find out more from Dr. Watson by visiting teachingforblacklives.org and rethinkingschools.org. Thank you for listening, and please share today's Something Good with others in your life. This is Kim Azzarelli, co-author of Fast Forward and co-founder of Seneca Women. To learn more about Seneca Women, go to senecawomen.com or download the Seneca Women app, free in the App Store. Here's Something Good is a production of the Seneca Women Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. Have a great day. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.